was almost 67. Now, he lived as we do in a very parochial kind of mindset, and yet I guess it was far worse by then, where ethnicity and language and culture were seen as the ultimate definers, and you have your god and they have their god over there, and we have our way, they have their way. And the only way that the two things ever met or that there was a change is if you conquered them and they became subject to you, or they conquered you and you became subject to them, then their culture, their language, their gods were then forced upon you. Well, David has a far different approach. His view is that he's not out for personal conquest, but rather he simply wants the wonderful grace that he and Israel have known in Yahweh to be genuinely spread to others, to other nations. Verse 1, may God be merciful to us, bless us, and cause his face to shine upon us. Now this is very much alluding to the high priestly blessing of Israel in Numbers 6. And so he's saying that God has blessed us with mercy. We've sinned, but God has been so gracious and forgiving to us. Verse 2, that your way may be known on earth and your salvation among all nations. So God has saved Israel by grace, by forgiving them, and yet David wants that way of blessing and salvation that had been shown to Israel to be known throughout the earth, possibly the Eretz, the land promised to Abraham, but all the same, among all nations. Now, we ought to get in the spirit of this, because the Great Commission is to take the good news of the Lord Jesus to all nations. The gospel must be preached, Jesus says, among all nations, and then the end shall come. And the idea, I think, in its later application of this psalm was that the exiles in Babylon and Persia would repent with no God's saving grace, and actually would return to Zion along with converts from the Gentiles who wanted to come to this wonderful, gracious God of Israel. So verse 3, let the peoples praise you, God. Let all the peoples praise you. And that's repeated in verse 5. The idea of let them praise you. It could be that David is saying to God, look, God, can you just expand and extend your plan of salvation to the Gentiles? Could you just let all these people, these nations who are going to be influenced by the grace you've shown us, could you just let them come into relationship with you? And the answer, of course, is yes, certainly. Verse 4, O let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you will judge the peoples with justice and govern the nations on earth. So he has this vision of God's final kingdom coming upon all the earth, all the nations. And so he wants them to expect that coming with joy. He wants them to believe the good news of that coming kingdom and to rejoice in it. He's looking forward very much, isn't he, to the day of judgment. Be glad and sing for joy because you will judge the peoples with justice. So this is a great theme of David, that he's actually enthusiastic about the coming of the day of judgment. Many times he says this, oh, judge me, O God, enter into judgment, and passages like this, let us rejoice because judgment day is coming. Now, that doesn't mean you're perfect. You haven't got to be spotless, because David certainly wasn't, neither before his sin with Bathsheba nor after. What it means is that you can be in good conscience with God and trust that he is a saviour God who loves you and wants to save all people, and that he will judge with justice. And we want that to come. There should be no fear in love, as John says. If we have love for God and we know his love, then we can enthusiastically look forward to his coming, his judgment. And David is saying that he wishes that relationship, that feeling, could be upon all the nations of the earth, even at his time.